Well, good morning. It's good to be able to be here in the Lord's house and to open the Word of God this morning. The verse that Jeremy read for us is one of the verses we'll be looking at, but there will be others as well in that chapter. And this morning we're going to be looking at the Word of God itself, the importance of the Word of God, and primarily based there in Psalm 119. So let's go to the Lord in prayer now and ask for His help and His blessings at this time. Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, we do thank you so much for the privilege, Lord, of having your word. Lord, people have lived by this book and have also died by this book. And we thank you, Father, that every question, Lord, that we have, Lord, every answer that we need is contained in the pages of your holy word. We ask, Lord, that my speech and my preaching this morning, Lord, would not be with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And do ask, Lord, you give us even a small window into the preciousness and the blessings of thy word, Father, and that you would revive us in heart and mind and body this day. In your precious name, Lord Jesus, we do pray, and also do pray for Pastor Weston this morning as he preaches for the 40th anniversary at Northside Baptist Church. Pray for your blessings there, Lord, and for your power. In your name, Lord Jesus, we do pray. Amen. See, Psalm 119, please. How much do you value the book which you hold in your hands this morning? This Bible here was given to me by my parents, and these are the words that they wrote to me here in the front. To dear Daniel, on the occasion of your 21st birthday, these are the lively oracles of God. This is earth's greatest treasure. Live by this book, die by this book, and your pathway will grow brighter unto the perfect day. God bless you, son. You have brought us nothing but joy. We pray God will use you in his service mightily. All our love, father and mother. And their signatures. The lively oracles of God, earth's greatest treasure. And so it is. And very easy it is for us to take for granted that we have the word of God, and that we have it in our own language, and we have it in its complete form. And also at this stage still have the freedom to be able to read it. Now, there are certain places in the world where you cannot just open your Bible in a public place and begin to read it due to persecution. So we see here Psalm 119, a psalm of David, and this psalm is full of various things about the Word of God, what King David writes by inspiration here about the Word of God. So we see here verses 1 to 3 of Psalm 119. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. And as Christians, we need to have an obedience to the Word of God, and a wholehearted seeking after God himself. An obedience to the Word of God. There are many times where we can easily, wholeheartedly seek after other things, but we do not seek after God wholeheartedly, or after his word and desire his word as we ought. But yet you'll be a blessed person if you keep God's word and seek him wholeheartedly. Just as Mary, who sat at the feet of the Lord Jesus, was more blessed than Martha, who was cumbered with much serving. Also Psalm 119, 9-11, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. King David says that didn't wander from the commandments of the Lord. He had the word of God in his heart so that he wouldn't sin against the Lord. And how important it is that we hide God's word in our hearts, not only from hearing it preached, but also by reading and upon meditating upon it in our own personal lives. I've just read a book by a man called Jonathan Goforth, and it's called By My Spirit, and he speaks about many of the revivals that took place, or the big revival that took place there in China. And I heard Dad speak about how this one move that this man made, who's about 70 years of age, to this particular area, that's estimated that as a result of that one move, about 1 million people came to know the Lord Jesus as their Saviour. And at the end of the book, he outlines at least three things for revival. One of them is an increase in prayer. And also back to the Bible was the second one. And thirdly was casting down of idols in our hearts. And so if we want to see a movement of God, a work of God, personally and abroad, we need to value this book. And we need to have this God's word in our hearts and to hide it in our hearts that we would not sin against God. A good way to do that is memorization. It's something I should start doing, is memorizing the Word of God. Another good way is listening to the Bible on CD or on an iPod, and to let that Word of God soak into you. But also, as well, God's given us a hard copy. It's good just to simply read the Word of God and meditate upon what we read. As we've seen there in 1 John 2:14, where the apostle writes, "I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one." And it's because these young men had the word of God abiding in them that was why they were able to overcome the devil. So would you be struggling with temptation in thoughts or in actions? Particularly men, you need to have the Word of God filling your very being. You need to be fortified spiritually with the Word of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. When temptation comes our way, we need to flee from the sin and straight to God and the promises of His Word. Verses 14 to 16 of Psalm 119, "I've rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." Amazing part there, verse 14. "I've rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches." As in all riches. I don't know that we always value the word of God as we ought to. Whereas King David, he says that he rejoices in them as much as in all riches. And he would have been a man who would have had considerable wealth. Not the wealth of his son Solomon, but considerable wealth. And yet he delighted as much in the testimonies of God as he did in riches. Back in the gold rush days in America, sometimes whole cities would basically be, or whole towns would just be left vacant, because everyone would there'd be a rush for the gold, to go and find gold, and the whole town would just be emptied because people would catch this gold fever. How we ought to desire the Word of God as though it were like that, as though it were treasure, and that we'd be willing to leave everything not in the wrong sense, in the right sense, for the Word of God, and have that sort of a desire for the Word of God. Not just that I have to read my Bible attitude, but that we would see the value of what the Word of God is, and that we would reverence it and make it our continual meditation. Psalm 119, verse 18, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Probably a good thing to be able to pray sometimes when we go to open our Bible, ask the Lord to help us to behold wondrous things. We see here that David asks for God to open his eyes. And as we read the Word of God, we need the Holy Spirit of God to open our eyes to the precious truths of the Word of God. The Bible is not just a history book, it's not just a novel, but it is a living book, and we need the illumination of the Spirit of God. And when we read the Word of God, we need to have the workings of the Spirit to get the correct understanding, correct interpretation of the Word of God. There's many different religious groups which use the Word of God, but they handle it deceitfully, and it's not according to the interpretation that God would have us to have by His Spirit. Not only can the Spirit of God give us understanding, but He can convict, challenge, and encourage us through His Word. And as a Christian, you probably remember times where you were struggling or you really needed an answer, and you opened the Word of God and God was able to give you an answer there to something that you needed. And that's the wondrous book that we have. Psalm 119, verse 19, "I am a stranger in the earth, hide not thy commandments from me." And we always feel that, don't we, in our everyday lives when we're Christians, is that we just don't fit. And we just do not fit with the world system. We don't fit with the people of the world Even though we are to do the right thing by them, there's a sense where we just do not fit and we ought not to. But how the Word of God can bring us much comfort, even though we do not fit in this world and that we are strangers here. Psalm 119:24, thy testimonies also are my delight and my counsellors. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Just quoted that, I hope I'm correct there. Yes, that's what it says there. The Word of God presides far above the counsel of this world. And we ought not to follow the cunningly, we don't follow cunningly devised fables. It says in the Word of God, that's not what we follow. And our counsel ought to come from the Word of God and not from the philosophies of this world. And the Bible is sufficient to give us what we need for life and for practice and for our faith. Psalm 119:36, incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Psalm 119:36. It's very easy for us to get caught up with possessions, isn't it? And how we need to be careful that where our heart is. There's nothing wrong with being industrious or with doing good things with finances. If you can multiply your finances, that's good. It says in the Bible that strong men retain riches. And there's other things about finances. That in itself is not evil. You hear people say money is the root of all evil. It's not true. It's the love of it. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. And we ought to have our heart inclined to the testimonies of God, the Word of God, rather than to covetousness. And maybe you've sensed that at times in your own spiritual life, where when things are a bit dry with you and the Lord, you're seeking for something else. And you're seeking for something to fill that void in your life, something that, in trying to feed off something else, trying to find somewhere else to some other kind of life force rather than the Lord and rather than His Word, whereas the Word of God is our spiritual food, and that is where we should be inclined to in our hearts. Psalm 119:41-44. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually for ever and ever. If we meditate on the word of God and trust in it, we can have answers of wisdom to give those who are causing us grief. And the Lord Jesus, we see there, used Scripture to counteract the temptations that he received, the wicked darts that he had from Satan. Satan was trying to tempt the Lord Jesus Christ to turn stones into bread, which he had the ability to do as God, but it was not right what the devil was asking him to do there. And taking him up to a high place and showing him the kingdoms of the world and saying, if you bow down and worship me, you can have all these. Or of casting yourself off the pinnacle of the temple, spiritual pride. But the Lord said several times, that it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Or it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And he said, it is written several times there. And that ought to be the way that we are, is that we ought to counteract temptation with the Word of God. And although here in this section it's not necessarily speaking about so much temptation, but the Word of God can help us to answer others. And then, remember that section of Scriptures where it says that we can answer every man. I can't remember the full Scripture there, but how you ought to know how you ought to answer every man. And the Word of God can give us answers. And people may not always like the answers that we give, but at least we can know that they are true when we give answers which are based in the Word of God, which are based in this book. Also, we see here in verses 51 to 52 what David says. He says, the proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remember thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. And, you know, proud people in the world, they can have us in a place of derision and a place of struggle. And I remember when I used to do bricklaying at TAFE, I was doing that for a while when I was a teenager, and the other guys in the workshop used to always stir me up because I was a Christian and used to always make sin sound like this wonderful thing and all the time, and it's discouraging, and they can discourage you and they can get to you. But how I may have benefited so much more had I taken the time to meditate on the Word of God. That's what I should have done. And how we ought to do that. And Psalm 119, verse 55, I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. You know, our Lord should be on our minds every day, morning, evening. The Lord should fill us, and we should always be conscious of what it is that God desires of us. And we ought to always have the Lord in our minds and in our hearts in everything that we do. Verses 57 to 60. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favour with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. So not only did David meditate on the word of God, but he also applied it. And we listen to a good message sometimes, or we read something in the Bible and we say, you know, that's excellent or that's really good, but we do not apply it to our lives by the power of the Spirit of God. And how important that is, that we not only be hearers of God's word, but doers of it. And not merely just to pay lip service to it, or just to hear it and just say, well, that's nice or that's good, but say, Lord, will you help me now to apply this by the Spirit of God? And I want to turn towards what's right. I want to turn my feet unto the testimonies of the Lord. James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We need to have hearts for truth, and we're willing to change when we see that we are inconsistent with the word of God. And that takes humility. When we read the word of God and if we were to find out that something we believe or something that we're doing is not according to the word of God, it takes humility for us to say, no, I'm not right here. I'm wrong in what I'm doing, and I'm now going to, by the grace of God, I'm going to change. And I'm going to ask God to help me change here. And we need to turn our feet like David so that we don't end up with grave spiritual illnesses from not being a doer of the word. Verse 63, I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. You know, if you love the word of God, you'll have a desire to be around people who love the word of God. And you know, it's strange when there are Christians who don't want to go to church and be with the people of God, to be with people of like faith and practice. And it's not a good thing if a person who claims to be a Christian is feeling more at home with people that are lost. And again, it's not that we look down on the people who are lost. It's not that we do not love them. But you will know there's something different there. And there should be a desire to be a companion of those who follow the Lord. And they're the sort of people we need to choose to be our friends, is people who want to follow the Lord and who want to be obedient to the word of God. And associations are important. I remember seeing this bikey once, and this fairly young fellow, and he had this patch on his leathers, and it had a picture like of Ned Kelly, and he said, I will associate with who I want. And yes, you will. You will associate with who you want, and you also suffer the consequences or reap the blessings of the people that you associate with. And we ought to want to associate with people who are of like faith to us and who have a love for this book, the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 72, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Should that not be our desire? On to verse 97 to 99. Oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. And we see here that the word of God is where we get our wisdom. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is the word of God, is wisdom. Is our wisdom. And just because you have ability and intellect, and because people have a very keen intellect, and they might be able to crunch figures like nothing else, they might be a walking encyclopedia on information, but that does not mean that they're wise. And there are a lot of people who are intellectual, but sadly they are foolish because they follow the philosophies of this world rather than the word of God. So even if you do not have the intellect that some people have, you can still be wise as far as the word of God goes, and to really be grounded in what is true and what really matters. And so that is the blessing of the word of God. So intellectual ability does not necessarily mean wisdom. You can have both, but the word of God is where we get wisdom. And the word of God gives us an entire framework. It gives us our history, how the entire world began. It gives us what is required of us now, which is to trust the Lord Jesus as our Savior and to be obedient to Him. And also tells us of the future, of how the world is going to end and of what the future will be. And so the Bible gives us an entire framework of all that we need to know, and how even things which are bad, we can even sometimes understand why they are that like that because of the Word of God. And we see the way the world is going, how corrupt it's going, and we know that is from the Word of God. That is because we are living in the last days. And we know that the people are changing and things are going to get worse, and it's going to be the same as in the days of Noah. But the Bible gives us wisdom and gives us understanding for every situation of life. Whereas we see in Romans 1:22, the wisdom of this world, it's the wisdom of this world that makes people to be fools. And 1 Corinthians 3:19 says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And you so very much see that when people follow the things of this world and the philosophies of this world, you see how they become such fools. As where it says in the Bible, it says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And you see that so very much with evolution. When you watch a debate between a Christian scientist and an evolutionist, and you just see how foolish, utterly foolish, what they believe is. And even though they're supposed to be the ones which have the understanding of science and the way things are, and they look so foolish because they're following an ungodly, unbiblical, unscientific philosophy rather than the truth of the Word of God. And it's good. We don't need this world's philosophy. And some people try to mix the two together. They try to take the philosophies of the world and they try to take the Word of God and they try to mix them, but in reality they don't fit together and they never will. And it's not right that people do that. But the two are, oil and water are probably more compatible than the Word of God and the philosophies of this world, because God's ways are just so very different to our ways. As we see, how they're so much higher above and so much different to the ways of this world. All that we need for life and practice is contained in this book. But you see, when a church starts to change on some of their standards, they might change on one thing. It looks like they're changing on one thing, like music, but in reality, it's a whole heap of things. The music goes, the dress code goes, the Bible versions, and things just crumble. And how we need to stay with what the Word of God says. And we may not always look to be wise in the world's eyes. And we'll look probably very foolish to some people. And even to some Christians, we might seem to be over the top. And I don't mean we should be over the top in a fleshly sense, but just to stay with the Word of God will be very unrelevant in today's society. But we ought to stay with what God says. We ought to obey God rather than man, and stay with the Word of God. That's where we ought to be. verse 101 to 104. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. And that ought to be our desire too, and it seems strange. It's one of the things that I've seemed to have found in this, at least in this area, maybe it's fairly widespread in Australia, is this whole concept where everyone else can have their own individual belief about something, and that's fine. One person can believe this, and that's fine. Someone else can believe something else, and that's fine. And someone else believes something else, and that's fine. But it's not fine. Not according to the Word of God. And we ought not to be people who would just say, well, you know, look, that's fine if someone else believes something else, and we act as though there's no issue with it. I'm not saying that we'd be harsh to those people, unloving, unkind, nothing like that. But we shouldn't make out that it's okay for someone to believe something that is not true. And there's very much, seems very much the culture around here that basically is sort of each to their own. Yeah, it might be each to their own when it comes to the car you buy or what area you want to live in or the foods you like. Yeah, each to their own. When it comes to what is true and what is wrong, not each to their own. Not in that case. And sometimes people cannot agree on things and they have to separate, but then that ought to be done lovingly, but we need to stick with what is true. But our mindset ought to be, if it's not Bible, then it's not for me. Verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Have you ever fallen over in the dark or run into something? Yeah, done that before. The Word of God guides us spiritually. And it's the Word of God that gives us light and enables us to see. A lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. And we live in a very dark world, and in a world which is full of ideas and philosophies and religions and that sort of thing. But yet, with the Word of God, staying close to the Word of God, we can have that continual illumination to see where we can go in this life. And God made a way for Noah and his sons in a day when people were just so very wicked and cared absolutely nothing for God and thought that they were the biggest fools in the entire world. They're building an ark. And even in that day, I don't think it had ever rained before until that time. And that he's there warning him probably about the judgment of God. I don't know, maybe he said that water's going to come from the sky, and they're thinking this guy has just lost it. And yet God made a way for him. God made a way for him and his sons, and there's just only eight people who were saved, and the entire world perished. And you know, regardless of how bad things get, with the Word of God, God can give us a light. And God can make a way for us in this wicked world. And we desperately need to have a heart for what is true. Going back to that other part where it says, I hate every false way. We need to have a heart for what is true. Verse 112, I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes alway, even unto the end. You know, starting the race is easy. Every one of you that would have ever run in a race, the start's the easy part. And but it gets hard as you get on. And as you go further and further, you know, you get worn out. You know, you might start well and you get in there and you have a go and everything like that and you're feeling fairly fresh, but it gets difficult. And how we need to be people that would stick with the Word of God, perform the statutes of God unto the end. And it's a sad thing when you see people who will start off well and they're with the Word of God, they're believing the Word of God, they're staying with what is true and what's righteous, and then you see it that years, and then in the later years of their life, they start to go off track. They start to go off track. And You even see that in the Word of God too, like Solomon, who was so wise, but towards the end of his life, you see him there praying to idols in temples. His heathen wives had him begin to worship their gods after all that God had done for him and after all that God had blessed him with. And we're no better than Solomon or anyone who has had one of those downfalls. And by the grace of God, may God keep us to be faithful to him, faithful to his word to the end, through whichever way. And the Lord has promised, lo, I'm with you, even unto the end of the world, or unto the end of the age, whichever it says there. Verse 113, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. And it's very easy to slip into vain thinking. And this is a very important area. Stress this to be has been extremely important, because no one can really see what is going on in here and in here. And you may be able to sort of think to a degree. You can know what someone is thinking or what's going on within them, but you really don't know for sure. But yet God sees what's in our minds. God sees what's in our hearts. And it's very easy for us to go a lot of places and think a lot of things which are very ungodly and which are very vain and are things which God does not want us to think about. And rather than that, we ought to hate that sort of thinking and have a love for the law of God and to desire for the law of God to fill our hearts and to fill our minds. And that is, the Bible is a good good help when we're having difficulty with sinful thinking. Because the Word of God is so very pure and can purify our minds and hearts. And that is a good thing to do, that if you're struggling with sinful thinking, whichever area it would be in, whether it be a lust in a man or whether it be fanciful thinking in a lady or whichever way it would be, how the Word of God, it is good to be focusing on the Word of God, reading, meditating on the Word of God, that we can be purified in our hearts and minds. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, taking someone captive, that there implies, doesn't it, someone that does not want to be taken captive. If you take someone captive and that person has to be bound or handcuffed or whatever, that's taking that person against their will. They don't want to be taken, generally speaking. And so that is what we are to, by the grace of God, do. Every one of our thoughts, take thoughts to be captive. Okay, so thoughts which are unruly. Thoughts that want to go places that God would never have us go. And think things that we never ought to think. And by the grace of God, we need to bring those thoughts into captivity, to where they are then going to be obedient to Christ and under his power and under his control. Verse 115 to 116. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Again, there we see the importance of associations, that we would not want to be the companions of wicked people, but rather keep the commandments of God. Also 127 to 128, therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. And we see here how much David, how he values the word of God, seeing the commandments of God above gold, above fine gold. And we should never be willing to trade the word of God for anything. Verse 130, which was read for us earlier, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. And you might say, I'm not a scholar, I'm not a pastor, I haven't got a doctorate in reading the word of God. But yet, God can use the word of God in everyone's life. And how God can open your understanding and give understanding to you. Even you might say, I'm a very simple person, I haven't got a great intellect or a great ability for studying the Word of God, but yet God can give you understanding in the Word of God. And that ought to be your desire as a church, as individuals, is not only to hear the Word of God preached on the Sunday, but to read it and to study it for yourself and have the Lord give you understanding there. Verse 131, I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Do you thirst after God and his word? The Lord Jesus said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. There's a promise there. And we ought to have a longing and a desire for the word of God, a thirst after it. Verse 136, rivers of waters run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. It should be a discouragement. It should be a sad thing for us when we see people who do not want to follow God. And I wonder how much we are concerned about our fellow man around us. The people who we see walking around us on the streets or neighbours or whatever, how much are we concerned for them and for their souls? And is that a sadness for us to see people who are not wanting to be obedient to the Lord? Verse 161, princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. And when was the last time that reading the word of God you were really in awe of it? And you said, wow, Lord, your word is alive. Your word is a living book. And Lord, I'm just enthralled by this. This precious principle here, this precious verse that you have given me, and are you in awe of it? And there's a lot of people who will criticise this book and will talk about it as though it's just some old book which isn't relevant to us and so forth. But, you know, we ought to be in awe of the Word of God. We don't worship the pages of this book. We worship the Lord Jesus Christ, God who is manifest in the flesh, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, great triune God that we serve. But how we ought to reverence this word that we have. Psalm 119, verse 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. When you meditate on God's word, you have peace. And I think I learnt from Pastor Keith Piper, at least to a degree, I've got a long way to go, but about not taking offence to things. And I think I might have, I'm not sure if I heard him mention this verse or not, but at least probably in something that he's written maybe even, great peace have they which love thy law, nothing shall offend them. Mm-hmm. And we get offended too easily at times. Yeah. And we hold grudges or get angry with someone or whatever, or bitter, and we ought not to. And whether it be with that unsaved boss or work colleagues or whatever that we're getting, holding in anger against, and just say, come before the Lord, say, Lord, no, help me not to be this way. Lord, forgive me for being offended. Lord, I've got your word. And Lord, I love your word. And I'll tell you what, I'm just blessed to have your word. And how we ought to meditate on the word of God and the great peace that we can have from the pages of this book. Psalm 172, my tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. What is it that's always on your lips? What is it that you love to talk about most? And I'm not against talking about this and about that and different things. There's many interesting topics, but is the word of God on your lips? Is it the word of God you want to speak about? Is the Lord that you want to speak about? And you know, who we really are and what we really desire and what we really love often comes out of our mouths. And the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And how we ought to speak of the Word of God and of the great treasures that we have. David MacDonald, he's done gold detecting and that sort of thing. We're talking about gold detecting one day. And he said, though, that our faith is much more precious than gold. But he'd said earlier, I think, or at least some stage in the conversation, that gold fever is like a really real fever. But he said about our faith being much more precious, or our faith being more precious than gold, and so it is. So it is. In verse 176, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. It's easy to stray sometimes. And we might get a couple of knocks and bumps or whatever it be, and we start to stray from the Lord. And we still believe the word of God in our hearts and in our minds. We still believe it, but we stray. And if you have strayed, how you ought to speak to the Lord about that and ask the Lord to seek you again. You haven't forsaken the Lord in essence, but strayed. And may the Lord help you to come back to him if that be the case. What a blessed book we have from the Lord. Why don't we go to the Lord in prayer now and thank him for it and ask for his blessings upon our fellowship. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you so much for this blessed book that you have given us with all the answers that we need. And Lord, you've left no stone unturned, Father, and that all that we need for ministry, for life, for everyday living, for conflict resolution, Lord, for the running of the New Testament church, for evangelism, everything, Father, it's all in here. And we do thank you, and we do praise you and glorify you for it. I pray that you bless our fellowship together. Pray you revive our hearts right now by the power of your Holy Spirit, and that we would have a blessed time of fellowship together, centered around you, Lord Jesus Christ, who is truly our life. In your precious name, dear Lord Jesus, we do pray. Amen.